This is not a long message. It is a revelation and understanding to me from God. But I want to transmit it and share it with you in the few moments of time that are left in this service today. From the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and verse 14, a text perhaps that you have heard preached from numerous times. John's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 14. The Bible says, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He," meaning Peter, "saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He," Jesus, "saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." I want to simply entitle this today, Testing Our Faith. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts, and would you pray for just a moment with me this morning? Lord Jesus, in this sacred place, where your spirit and name doth abide, I'm asking, O God, this morning, by the power of your resurrection, by the power of your spirit, by the power of your name, by the power of your blood, that you will speak to us as a people today, that we will hear what thus saith the Lord, and that we will be set free, that we will be delivered, as it were, that we, O God, will hear the sandaled footfall of the man from Galilee walking through the corridors of our hearts, and that we shall rejoice within these courts and be glad for the awesomeness and the power of this Jesus that we know. We thank you this morning for it. Bless every soul that is here, every heart, O God. Anoint us now to hear and to speak. We will not fail to give you praise, glory, and honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Would you clap one more time for the Lord here today? Probably more than anything else, I am known for a preacher of faith. Probably for more than anything else I do or try to do, I have been known for working in the realm of faith. Faith. What really is faith? This is not something I got out of a book or heard someone else say. It's just my own definition. Faith is a consciousness and a subconsciousness, a recognition and acknowledgement of God. And once a confession is made by the mouth, once you have ever put words to what you feel in your consciousness and subconsciousness, once that recognition has ever been expressed verbally, our actions become bound to it. Once we have ever made a statement, and there is a law of confession in our mouth. That's what the Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. There is a law of confession in your mouth, in your tongue. And faith has always moved God. Throughout the Bible, men and women have been remembered eternally for their examples and executions of faith. Job, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, Hezekiah, a Roman centurion, the Syrophoenician woman, and many others. We today are a counterpart of all those great heroes of faith. We exercise our faith in various ways. Praying is an example of faith. Testifying is an example of faith. Testimonies are an outflow of faith. Preaching is a tremendous example of faith. Teaching, singing, clapping, standing in the presence of the Lord, lifting of our hands, altar work, fasting. These are examples of faith that we exemplify, that we example in day-to-day living. Coming to church, for example, is a very definite display of faith. You chose rather to come here to the house of God this morning to hear something from the Spirit of God than to recline or to stay in bed, to sleep late, to eat late. You forced yourself, some of you did, to rise, dress, make the effort to come here. But it didn't end with you coming through the doors of the sanctuary. Once you got in here, more faith got a hold of you. And you clapped, you sang, some of you have wept, acknowledging that He is in this house. You lift your voice, you have stood, some of you have danced around in a circle here today in front of a whole crowd, not caring what they think or what they say. Because of something inside of you that relates to the touch of the Master's hand, to the sound of His voice. Faith. Faith. You show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. If you have faith in your heart, it will come out. You will give evidence of that faith by actions. What's inside of you will be bound to come out. It cannot stay locked up inside in some mental expression of theological expertise or exegesis. It will come out by physical demonstration. Because once you have ever come in contact with the one true God, you cannot become complacent in His presence. You cannot yield yourself to quietness. Something alive gets a hold of you. Something tangible touches you. Something alive causes you to become more alive. And you demonstrate, and you reach out and give evidence to it. We declare with our mouth, standing on the Word of God, claiming His promises. Intense feelings, emotional involvement make it easy to utter the most powerful positive or negative declarations. Because we become intensely involved emotionally, physically, and spiritually with what we feel, loving, wishing, desiring, it's easy to do it. And we exhaust ourselves in this testing of our faith. We exercise our faith continuously. How many have come to the house of God when they felt like they could not put one foot in front of another? But they did. Somehow they managed to get one foot ahead of the other. And then the other one. And then something came that we called strength. And we continued to walk to the house of God. And he met us. God has always met man at an altar of sacrifice. And he will continue to meet him there. The effort that you put forth will not be in vain. And you'll never outgive him. Whatever you put forth to him, he will give it back to you. He will. He will give it back to you. Let me reiterate. We exercise or exhaust ourselves in a testing of faith. We exercise our faith. We test it. We try it out. And sometimes we feel that we have almost totally failed God because we failed in faith. We were not able to carry through. We meant to. We wanted to. We wished to. But we were not able somehow to carry it out as we could see it in the theater of our mind's eye. We could not somehow touch it the way we saw it in the realm of the Spirit. Faith is really better than an answer. Job had faith. Job did not have an answer. God never did tell Job what he was doing. Job didn't have an answer. He just had faith. But faith is better than an answer. Because faith got him through. And whether he ever understood or not, he was able to live victoriously for God. And God was able to bless him in the end result with twice as much as he had before. So faith is better than answer. I've reached the place in all of this. Answers are not always that important to me. As long as I can feel in my spirit something reaching out for God. As long as I can feel him reaching for me. As long as I can walk among you and I can sense his presence. That's better than an answer. That's better than an answer for me. That's better than any demonstration I can receive from him. If I can have faith, if I can just feel my faith moving in him, unrelenting, unyielding, just knowing that God is here, that he will make a way, that somehow he'll explain it, it's going to be all right. Everything will work out. He holds the answer in the palm of his hand. I will not question. I will trust. I will blindly trust. Though you slay me, yet will I serve you. Because the Lord is good, and he is righteous, and his laws are perfect. His laws are perfect. Hallelujah. Go ahead and let your voice out. Lift your hands this morning in the presence of the Lord. Allow him to hear your voice in the sanctuary today. Allow him to feel the earnestness of your human spirit. So we can clap our hands and we can shout with our voices. In the face of turmoil, in the face of world collapse, we can come to the sanctuary. We can come to the house of God. We can lift our hands and our voices and dance for joy. Not because we understand everything, not because we have all the answers, but because we have faith. We have faith. We have faith. We have faith. We have faith in God. Put a tail on that and do it again. Not everybody is as actively involved today as you ought to be. That's better. You can feel the unity. You can feel the power. You can feel the surge of something flowing through us today as a people who do know their God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus knew, for example, by foreknowledge, that Peter would miserably and completely fail him. Peter declared that he wouldn't. He swore to the Lord with intense emotion, feeling what faith he knew to exercise. He declared that he would never deny Jesus. He declared it. And yet when Jesus needed him most, Peter denied. Not only did he deny, but he swore and cursed with it. The incredible thing to me is this, that when Jesus was looking Peter in the eyes and said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter was declaring, "Yea, Lord, I love you." "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter looked back and said, "Lord, you know I love you." Jesus did not say yea or nay, basically speaking. He said again, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved. And he said, "Lord, you know I love you." But while Jesus was looking in his eyes, by foreknowledge he knew that Peter would miserably, totally fail him. He knew that. But the thing that has always stirred my heart and given me a keen insight into how Jesus really is this. When the women came to the tomb, the only message and the first message that Jesus wanted told was not, "Mary, how are you? We're glad you women came." It's almost as if the women were ignored, but the angel said, "Go tell Peter. Go tell him. Go tell Peter." The major concern of Jesus was, "Go tell Peter that it's all right." Jesus knew that Peter would fail him in faith. Jesus knew that when the pressure was really on, Peter would fail in faith. But what Jesus wanted to know was, "Peter, do you love me? If you just love me, everything else will be all right." That's really what he was saying. Can you imagine how Peter must have felt when he found out that the angel of God had sent a message to him directly and personally that Jesus was alive? You know how Peter must have felt when he realized, "It must be that he doesn't hold this against me. It must be that he is not going to be wrath with me, but he still loves me and believes in me." Jesus was not so concerned with Peter's faith. He knew he wouldn't make it when the real pressure was on. But the one thing that was paramount in the mind of Jesus was, "Peter, I just want to know, do you love me?" David, King David of old, he was the only man in the whole Bible that the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Peter was one kind of a man, but David was a totally different kind. And David, in spite of all of his great positive achievements and accomplishments, David made a major catastrophic mistake in his life. David looked, he saw, he coveted, he secured, he committed, he covered, he killed, he murdered, he covered again. You can't get any worse than that. And the prophet came and told David a simple story. And David was caught in the trap. And David said, "That man shall surely die." And the prophet Nathan pointed a finger in the face of David. And he said, "David, thou art the man." It was just an ordinary barnyard rooster. It was the trumpet of dawn that awakened in the heart of Peter the terrible error he had made. And conviction gripped him. This was not a barnyard rooster. It was a prophet of God. With eyes that were flashing with holy fire and a finger that was directed pointedly toward him, he himself. David, being what he was, reached up for the crown that was on his head. He took the crown from his head. He laid it down on the floor. And like a child caught in mischief, he crawled from the throne and he lowered himself to the floor. And he began to sob and to cry in the presence of the Lord. And this will forever go down in the annals of my own spiritual experience as one of the truly great revelations and understandings. God himself, not Gabriel, not Michael, but God himself, stepped out from behind the iron, unbending doors of the law. And he closed the doors behind him. And with hands yet nail scarred, he walked into the presence of an earthly king, just an ex-shepherd boy who had kept the sheep in his father's sheepcote. God himself reached down, and he bent low, and he wrapped his arms around this king, and he lifted him, and through the lips of a prophet, Jesus, God whispered to him, David, thou shalt not die. Because David loved God. He loved him. He failed in faith. He failed in his commitments. He failed in his declarations. He failed. And God himself broke the laws that had executed others and left them under piles and heaps of stones. Because David loved God from his heart. He loved him. And I have simply come today to say to you, no matter what happens, no matter whatever happens, if you love Jesus, you can make it. No matter what happens, no matter what takes place, if you love Jesus, you can make it. Faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. Love. Hallelujah. Our faith can be so weak, but our love can be so strong. That's why we can collapse in puddles of tears, sobbing, not understanding, not being able to touch it, not knowing how it is, not knowing how it will end. But love, love pouring out, flowing down our cheeks, hearts that become rent in the presence, the power of the presence of God. And we can cry, Jesus, I love you. I love you. Help me. I love you. I don't understand. I don't know what's going to happen, but I love you. I just want you to know that I love you. I don't have the answer. I don't understand this, but I love you. I love you. I love you. I've always loved you, and I'm always going to love you. No matter what happens, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to keep on loving you. So no matter what takes place, no matter what happens, if you simply love Jesus, you can make it. Falling down is not a crime. Staying down is. And whenever you find yourself in the fiery furnace, invite the fourth man in. Invite him in. And when he comes in, the heat of the flames will not touch you. And the trauma will not take you over. And you can come out of it with not even the smell of smoke or the singeing of the flames of fire. Circumstances do not make men. They reveal them. And I've said all of that to say this conclusive statement. God, Jesus, does not test our faith. We test our faith. We do what we know to do with our human limitations. God does not test our faith. We test our faith. But God tests our love. He tests our love. And the question that Jesus most often asks is, can you still love me after what's happened? Can you still love me after what I've done? I just want to know if you love me. I thought about Brother Tekla Merian this morning. I just saw the Freemans. I was in a marvelous meeting with him. Tremendous miracles of healing. But talking to Sister Freeman, can you imagine how he must have felt as a father as the communist threw his baby through the window and killed it on the street? He probably still doesn't understand that. But he never stopped loving Jesus. Sister Freeman told me that since the 70s, there are over 500,000 Ethiopians filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. The greatest revival in UPC in the world. Over 500,000 people. He just simply loved Jesus. I saw an incredible act of love recently. A mother, her little girl, beautiful child. The child was in braces. Its feet, its little legs, the feet were twisted in, the knees were pulled together. I think one ankle was messed up and shorter than the other one. Braces all the way to the hips. The child moved with tremendous difficulty. But in a service one night in Kentucky just a couple weeks ago, that mother continued to love Jesus no matter what. She just kept loving him. And there was a woman that got out of a wheelchair and walked. And when she began to walk, the altar service stood and they opened up and made way for her to walk back and forth across the front, back and forth. The people were jammed in there. It was at Brother Hendricks' church in Madisonville, Kentucky. I saw one of the most dramatic things I've ever seen. The men got together and they collapsed this woman's wheelchair. And there were so many people, they... couldn't carry it out, so they passed it from hand to hand over the heads of the congregation. As the victim was walking back and forth across the front of the church, the wheelchair was being passed over the heads of the people out the back door. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. No matter what he does, he is the same no matter what he does. With that demonstration of power, this little girl suddenly sat down on the platform and she began to take these braces off her legs. And her mother stopped praying and saw her. And the mother cried out. She said, "Honey, stop it. Stop it. You can't do that." The little girl stopped. She looked up into the face of her mother. We watched this. And she said, "Mommy," she said, "Jesus just healed me." And the mother looked. And the legs had straightened. The feet had straightened. The knees had straightened. And they helped her take the braces off. They peeled the socks down. The mother reached down and grabbed that child, lifted her up, and those little naked straight legs jangled. The mother began to dance and to shout and to weep. Arohorasha, Utaylahorashata, Atayaharasha, In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. It spread. It spread from that point to every point. A woman that was deaf, she had done some kind of target practicing, and she had deafened both ears. God reached down and opened both of her ears, and they had to carry her out of the service. She was drunk on the Spirit. Love, no matter what happens, just keep loving Him. Just keep loving Him. Just keep loving Him. Just keep loving Him. He's the master. He's the author. He's the finisher. The end will be twice as good as the beginning. I don't know how it'll work out, but it will work out. The end will be twice as good as the beginning.